OMB was supposed to, the person.
Correct. Lisa Brown.
Who is leading this effort up, essentially.
Basically.
Was supposed to be there this morning, and she wasn't there.
She did not show up, no. Yeah. And the White House says this was something that they worked out last week with NAPA, but NAPA either didn't tell us or there's something else going on that we don't know about. Either way that was the reason everyone showed up.
I wasn't trying to falsely advertise.
No.
We were expecting to hear from her, but there were a bunch of experts. And so these give us a sense of, they say reorganization will not save money. What does this mean?
I think that was the most surprising thing that came today from the panel discussions at the National Academy of Public Administration. Many of the experts who serve both in Republican and Democrat administrations and on Capitol Hill say the cost to reorganize is higher than the savings that come from changing the way the government works. Dwight Inc. is a former president of the Institute of Public Administration and worked for every president from Eisenhower to Reagan.
There are and have been reorganizations of a limited nature within a department that have saved money. I think what we're talking about are these presidential reorganizations cut across departmental lines. And one of the problems I had, and some of you may have had, is trying to keep White House staffs and presidents from putting into the transmission to Congress that this is going to save money, because it is not going to happen in these broad reorganizations.
Robert Tobias is another expert who was on the panel. He's a former president of the National Treasury Employees Union and now director of the Public Sector Executive Education at American University in Washington. He says no study has ever found savings in reorganization.
Really?
And several others have repeated his claim as well that said, listen, you can look for it all you want, but reorganizations cost more than they save. But there was another side of this viewpoint came from another panel of experts. When Congress and the Bush administration reorganized the Homeland Security Department about 8 years ago, the officials in charge of that effort say, actually, well, hold on a sec, there maybe were some savings. Thomas Reinhardt is a former chief of staff to the DHS Undersecretary of Management. He says the back office savings, the technology in the back office, definitely happened.
The way you make money in that business is you go through first a transition to where I'm going to absorb that staff and bring in new staff. I'm going to stabilize your infrastructure and drive costs out of your infrastructure. So, yes, from a classical, you know, put your MBA hat on, that's a natural outcome of going through that process.
Janet Hale is a former Undersecretary of Management at DHS and now a director at Deloitte. She says actually the savings do depend on the needs of the organizations that are coming together. Some entities need help right away in terms of technology or facilities, so that's where you're going to spend money. Others are ripe for cost savings. But and the other point of this that she said I thought was very interesting was, don't forget the organizations that are being left, meaning the, for instance, when the Transportation Department lost the Coast Guard, or right. When they lost, TSA was created separately, but when they lost Coast Guard, they took some big organizations that were providing services back to the Transportation Department, and therefore all of a sudden the Transportation Department had to spend money to get those services. Whether they could get them from Coast Guard or they get them from somewhere else, money needed to be exchanged. And in fact, Jim Locher, who's the president and CEO of the Project on National Security Reform, says there's hundreds of millions of dollars in potential savings on the national security agency areas. So ODNI, the NCTC are most the recent reorganizations, and he says when you look across the board, there are ways that the government can save money when they bring these organizations together. They don't do it often enough because many times they do it in the face of a crisis, and that ends up costing them more. He says, obviously, the civilian agencies, the reorganization on civilian agencies, the same rule applies.
Well, but that's been part of the issue with ODNI, with the Office of Director of National Intelligence. The idea was to streamline it to, I don't know about saving money, but certainly streamline. And by most accounts, I think people say, hold on, ODNI has a lot of people now. It's created almost a whole level of bureaucracy. And I think that's part of the concern is you actually end up creating more bureaucracy than you end up saving.
And many times in the thought of, well, where can we achieve those savings? And that's the most important thing is, okay, when you start planning this out, it's not about, oh, let's achieve savings. It's about, okay, what can we do to make this better?
Yeah.
And then we can achieve savings. And I think that's, you know, that's why it is fairly secondary. I mean, one big focus throughout the panel discussion was whether the organization should be focusing on programs or outcomes. I mean, that's what a lot of people talked about. John Kaminsky is a senior fellow with the IBM Center for the Business of Government and worked for the Clinton administration on the reinventing government effort. He suggests three possible paths to reorganization.
One is they can look at some of the system level things, some of the things that focus around outcomes, programs and services that serve a common outcome, whether it's climate change or food safety or something. The second way of thinking about this is program level, by organizing around common customers and focusing on the needs of those customers. And this works in agencies that have a sort of a self-standing function, for example, patent and trademarks or air traffic control or student aid. The third element that the Obama folks might want to focus on is not focusing the overall mission or the program stuff, but the back office stuff that really allows agencies to work together. And this gets into what started in the Clinton administration as franchise funds. In the Bush administration, it was lines of business.
And remember those lines of business, HR, finance, right. Cybersecurity, it grew and grew and grew. Now, Dwight Inc. says any reorganization...
And there was a lot of reluctance to move to that direction. There was a lot of...
There was some pushback, absolutely, yeah. And especially they forced payroll. They learned their lessons around payroll and said, okay, for HR and finance and others, we're going to ask you to go when it's time to go versus you must go now.
Yeah.
I think that's some of the lessons that they learned. Dwight Inc. says the reorg must look at systems, processes, and people all together. If you fix the systems and the processes but don't have good people in place, then the reorganization is going to fail. He says ensuring agencies have the political but especially career people in place is key because those are the people, as we've talked about many times, they're the weebies. We'd be here before you. We'd be here after you.
Right.
They have to be enthusiastic about it. They're the ones the Hill staff will go to and talk to, and they're going to discuss those issues. And those are people who are going to have to live with those end results. In fact, Janet Hale says at DHS, they face a big people problem because these types of initiatives can wear people out very quickly and people start leaving and go somewhere else, get frustrated. So she says the administration should move fast, reorganize once, and then in a few years, reorganize again and make it better, and then in a few years, even reorganize a third time. In fact, she says, if you look at something like FEMA, which got a lot of criticism over the years, she goes from the time it was created till the DHS reorganization, it was reorganized in some way 27 times.
Yeah.
So I think that's from 1979 to about 2003. Finally, Hale says one of the other big lessons learned, and it goes back to this whole idea of people, is co-location. Bring everyone together in one organization. Don't try to keep them separate and hope that they work together and find each other.
So let's talk about the role of Congress because you mentioned DHS. DHS, part of the challenge has been there's so many agencies, there's so many parts of Congress that oversee DHS. Congress plays a huge role in this effort. If they want to streamline, it takes both sides of Capitol, of Pennsylvania Avenue.
Right, absolutely. And in fact, if Congress isn't a part of this, if they don't approve it, if they're not along for the ride, the reorg plan's not going to be successful in the least bit. In fact, Senators Joseph Lieberman and Susan Collins, the chairman and ranking member of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and Congressman Daryl Issa and Elijah Cummings, chairman and ranking member of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, all four of them signed a letter to OMB Deputy Director for Management Jeff Zients, asking for a tentative timeline for development and implementation of this reorganization proposal. The lawmakers want regular reviews of the plan from OMB and ask to be part of the overall development. Now, Dwight Inc. says if Congress isn't included from the beginning, failure is all but certain.
It's important to take whatever time it takes to deal with Congress, and if you're under a lot of pressure, then it's important, I found, to set up special mechanisms. When I was serving in one of those despicable czar roles for President Johnson in charge of rebuilding Alaska after the earthquake, I didn't have time to fool around with congressional niceties, but I sure had time enough to understand the need for a congressional partnership. So I detailed several congressional staff members to my staff throughout that period. I didn't have to keep Congress involved. My staff kept Congress involved. But in addition to that, the Congress knew that they were getting the facts because they sent up the problems as well as the successes on a day-by-day basis.
I love that. Despicable czar roles. Just, we need to get Dwight Inc. to come out of his shell a little bit.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, he's got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things that the experts did point to time and again of a successful reorganization was the Goldwater-Nichols Act, which reshaped the Defense Department back in 1986. Yeah. Of course, this took 4 years to start from start to
Some
finish.
Some might argue that it took a lot longer than that.
Well,
it's
still going on.
A lot longer than that.
But Jim Lotcher says Congress actually initiated this reorg, not President Reagan, and that's one big reason why it got started. Maybe not for its success, but the fact is you had Congress on board from the beginning.
Welcome back to the Dorobeck Insider on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're talking about government reorganization. The Obama administration, President Obama, during the State of the Union address, said he wanted to reorganize government. So, and we're talking to Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, who got to attend a session at the National Academy of Public Administration this morning about that topic. And so at that session, I know the OMB folks, they were supposed to be there, but did we get any idea of the status of the administration's efforts to do this reorganization?
We don't know a lot what's going on. We know that they're meeting with experts, including one panel member, said the reorg staff that works with Jeff Zients and Lisa Brown, who was supposed to, as you said, supposed to speak today, met with him to ask about previous reorganization efforts. So they know they're starting to reach out. I reached out to OMB and asked for a comment, at least can you give us a status check? And OMB spokeswoman Maura wrote in an email statement that as this effort gets underway, Zients and Brown are beginning the process of seeking advice and suggestions from Congress, as well as those who run programs and all the relevant, what she calls, stakeholder groups. She did not offer any kind of timeline.
That's a lot of people.
Exactly. Well, stakeholders. Well, you know, they did write the blog post on OMB.gov and talk about a number of weeks ago about what their initial plans are, looking at export and other competitiveness issues. So, but there's no timeline for it to be completed, and I think that's why the letter from the congressmen and senators is key as well, because they want the same, okay, what are you going with it? When should we expect something? But no matter what they end up doing, Beryl Radin, a scholar in residence at the American University School of Public Affairs, offers this advice.
One of, I think, the major reasons why we have not been so successful with reorganization is that I think we've worshipped the god of efficiency, and we've forgotten other kinds of goals that are in programs, one being effectiveness. One that is almost totally forgotten are questions of equity. We've forgotten politics. We've forgotten federalism. And the federalism is not just the feds having to deal with the states. There are 50 different states, and they all have different processes. And too often, we think that the federal government can come, well, we're going to give away to the states, and yet it works in some states and not in other states. I think that one of the real difficulties is that we haven't given enough space for thinking about the trade-offs that we have to make among these different goals.
That's Beryl Radin. She's a scholar in residence at the American University School of Public Affairs, and we talked to her a couple weeks ago, soon after they made this. So you can find all that on Dorobeck Insider. We'll have Jolie our internet editor, link to it, so you can hear our conversation with her. This is a challenging issue. It's not easy, and I know, and I was talking to a number of folks, a couple in the administration, who said they were very jazzed about it. They thought there was real opportunities. But, I mean, as we've seen with DHS, this can also take a long time.
And that's one of the things that Janet Hale talked about. She says, you know, her best friend during this whole reorg at DHS was actually David Walker, the former Comptroller General, who kept reminding people, DHS's reorg will take 5 to 7 years easily, and everyone wanted it done yesterday.
Yeah.
History does show that the reorg efforts don't have a lot of success in government. Every president from Nixon to Carter to Reagan to Clinton to even, you know, George Bush, the latter, they've tried it and they've had limited or no success, or their success has been different than what they've initially expected. I mean, DHS is the most recent one, and you know, there's as Paul Posner from the George Mason University said, they've both been a success and a failure in many ways. And I think that whatever reorg they go with, this reorg is going to have those same troubles, those same roadblocks, those same hiccups.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller.